pick up where we left off last week. We started trying to get to the question, what exactly is meant by no labor on Sunday? And the first thing we figured out was that that was a question that related to the Ten Commandments, where it says, you know, 6 days, you know, labor in the seventh, and, you know, it's a Sabbath, and that's the Lord your God. And if you are to do no labor. And what we figured out last week was we had the tendency in our minds when you hear Sabbath to say Sunday, first day of the week. And so we say, well, they weren't to labor on the Sabbath, so we're not to labor on Sunday, first day of the week. But last week we saw how the Sabbath definitely relates to the seventh day of the week, which is Saturday. We saw how God created all things in 6 days, and the seventh day he sanctified to himself as a rest, a day of rest, and the day the word rest there in it, the thief. So he stopped his creative labor, not that he retired, and he needed to, you know, regain his strength and his force. But, so that's the first mention, and it was a day for God to rest. He was set apart to himself. He never set apart for man, he commanded man to rest on that particular day. And the next mention of the Sabbath didn't come until 2600 years later, when God first gave the manna to Israel. 6 days they were to gather the manna in the morning, and then on the sixth day, Friday, they were to gather a double amount and keep, you know, it over until the next day, and the next day they were not to go out from their homes. They were to not to leave their homes on the Sabbath. They were to stay right inside and eat the extra manna they had collected the day before, and God would supernaturally preserve it so that it would not spoil like it normally did if they tried to hoard it any other day. And so, again, that's the first mention of the Sabbath, Exodus 16. And we saw how God said, I've given the Sabbath to you, to Israel. And how Psalm says he did not deal so with any other nation. It's something directly for Israel, and specifically for Israel, and only for Israel. And then we saw in the Exodus 20 where God incorporated the Sabbath rest into the Ten Commandments. And we saw how, you know, the Sabbath was one of the Ten Commandments. And there he says he gave it as a memorial of the creation. He says, my Sabbath, which I sanctified to myself for my as a day for me to rest, I have given to you. In a sense, my day of rest now becomes your day of rest, and the nation of Israel was to acknowledge, recognize, or observe the seventh day as a day of rest, as a special token of their relationship with God, because we saw how the Ten Commandments were the covenant that God made with the nation of Israel, and it constituted them as a separate people. That was their charter. That's what gave them their distinction and their existence as God's special chosen earthly nation. And it says in Deuteronomy 5 that because I brought you out of bondage in Egypt, I have given you the Sabbath. It was on the basis of the fact that he had redeemed Israel from slavery in Egypt that the Sabbath was given to them as a part of the Ten Commandments. And it was not a moral law in the sense we are to worship God. That's a moral law. That's something that all men of all times are to render to their Creator, worship. But it was not in the sense of being a specific day and a day of rest given to all men. That was something specifically given to Israel. And it did not have a covenantal authority over anyone else but Israel. In other words, as a part of that basis of their covenant, the Ten Commandments, they were responsible as a people to obey those laws, and including the seventh-day Sabbath, even though all the other laws, at least in their moral essence, are repeated in the New Testament, and anywhere they are moral, we as Christians are responsible to heed and obey them, because a moral law is universal and binding on all men for all times, and the New Testament bears that out. But as the Constitution, or the covenant that God made with Israel that brought them into existence as a separate, distinct, special people, we are not bound covenantally to the authority of the Ten Commandments. We are not Israel, we're not in the Old Testament, and that does not hold to us in the same sense. But wherever it's repeated in the New Testament, as under the New Testament, through Christ, we are responsible to obey these things, not by going back in, under the Constitution of Israel, or the Old Covenant. I think that's where we left off last week, as a summary anyway. Is that right? Anything I left out that we covered or needs to be brought up so we don't get started on the wrong foot or don't have a good foundation? All right, anyway, I do want to say one thing. Howard and Peggy Davis are beginning this week no longer going to be Williamsonites. We're going to be Wolcottites. And just wanted to let everyone know that they are going from us, not far, but far enough that they will not be in our community. But, you know, you folks are special to us, and we love you in the Lord, and we've appreciated having you here, and we'll continue to have you in our prayers and in our hearts. And I just wanted to announce that, and we can remember that in our prayer, too, as we open our class. But let's pray. Father, we thank you for this class and for the subject that we are going to take up. We pray you'll teach us and that you'll instruct us in your word and help us understand these matters relating to the relationship with the Old Testament and the New Testament and the place of the law, and specifically what the seventh-day Sabbath is, Lord, and how it bears on us as believers in the church. And Lord, we do want to thank you for the Davises and for the blessing they've been to us and what they mean to us. And Lord, we pray that you will go with them as they move to Wolcott. And Lord, they will be blessed, Lord, being there, and that, Lord, they can find an active, useful place in the community, and that you would use them, Lord, as a testimony and witness for you. And that, Lord, their family will just prosper under your blessing and Lord, your goodness. Father, that, Lord, we would remember them and they would remember us too. Lord, we just commit them into your hands now and thank you for allowing us the blessing and knowing them. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I think what we did say last week, if I remember right, the seventh day, that part of the command, the fact that it was to be the seventh day and to rest on that day was not a moral command. If it was, then any time you and I do not stay home and rest completely from all labor on the seventh day, we are sinning. It's not a moral command. That's a ceremonial observance that Israel was required to perform to God as his special earthly called out people under a relationship to him through the Ten Commandments and the Law of Moses. So, let's find out what the law, or at least the Sabbath specifically was, and when it was given and why it was given, and that way we'll be able to decide more what the answer to that question is. How about if we turn to Nehemiah chapter 9? This is kind of a complex subject, and it's an important subject, but I'm trying to keep things clear in my mind because there's a lot of things to deal with to answer it. But if you have any questions, bring them out if I'm not clear. Deuteronomy chapter 9, or Nehemiah, right. Sorry, Nehemiah chapter 9, thank you. Keep me straight. Verse 9 says how God saw the affliction of our fathers in Egypt, heard their cry by the Red Sea, showed signs and wonders unto Pharaoh, And by it, he got himself a name. He opened the sea before them and brought them through, and he drowned their persecutors in the deep waters, led them by a cloudy pillar of fire, you know, or the cloud by day and the fire by night, and to show them the way to go. Now, verse 13, thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai, spakest with them from heaven, gavest them, right? Again, it's talking to Israel. You gave them right judgments, true laws, good statutes, and commandments, made known unto them, thy holy Sabbath. All right. That's the verse I'm really looking for. It goes on to say, he gave them commandments, precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses, his servant. Then he refers to the manna from heaven and the water that was brought forth out of the rock to provide for their food, you know, hunger and thirst in the wilderness until they finally received the land of Canaan, which he had promised to give them. But what I'm trying to say in verse 14, on Exodus 16 and 20 are the very first time that God revealed the Sabbath day. And it was revealed to Israel, and it was included in the covenant that God made with that nation. And so it was covenantally binding and authoritative to them. And they were duty-bound as a part of their responsibility toward God as His covenant people to observe the Sabbath exactly as God, you know, commanded them. But it says, that's when He made known the Holy Sabbath, was when He came down upon Mount Sinai and gave them His laws. So that means from creation right up until the day when God came down upon Mount Sinai and constituted Israel as a special nation, you know, called out and set apart unto Himself, and, you know, the nation was constituted on the basis of the Ten Commandments. That was that covenant that gave them their, you know, peculiar existence and relationship with God. That was when the Sabbath was first made known. So again, if it was a moral law, that meant from Adam on, men should have been observing the Sabbath. But the fact that God first made it known at this time means it was a ceremonial law, or, you know, something that He, in a sense, arbitrarily or sovereignly decided they would have to follow. Now, again, to worship God takes time. And it's a basic principle that if you rest a day, you know, as God has made us as creatures, that is beneficial. But I don't think He ever established a certain day that had to be observed as a day of worship and had to be set apart for rest up until the day of, you know, the day that He came down on Mount Sinai and revealed the law to Israel through Moses, the mediator. So that's when God made known or first revealed and gave the Sabbath, the Holy Sabbath. And it was made known again and given to Israel as a part of the Ten Commandments. So there again is the beginning of the Sabbath day as we know it from the Old Testament. But I think Ezekiel 20 bears that out if you'd like to look there. Ezekiel 20. Right, for 2,500 years, man was not required to observe the Sabbath. There, as Israel came out of Egypt, under Moses' leadership, God came down and called them apart and constituted them a nation, set them apart unto Himself and gave them their charter or constitution and the Ten Commandments, which became covenantally binding to them as a nation, and they were duty-bound and responsible to God to obey that law. And Ezekiel 20, verse 10 to 13. I guess we'll start with Norm here.
Wherefore I caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness.
And I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them.
Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbath, to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctify them.
But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walked not in my statutes, and they despised my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even lie in them. And my Sabbath they greatly feared. Then I said I would pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness.
All right, so you see there, when God called Israel out of Egypt, brought them in the wilderness, there at Sinai, he gave them these statutes and judgments. And they, in order to, you know, receive God's blessing and be continued in life and in his favor, had to obey these things. And he says, I gave them my Sabbath. All right, again, this is when he gave the Sabbath day as a seventh day rest, and he gave it to Israel specifically and exclusively as a sign between them and God that he had set them apart to be his special chosen earthly people as a nation. And again, if I'm to keep the Sabbath day, that means I have to, that would be a sign that I have put myself under that covenant of Moses, the old covenant, the Ten Commandments. I have become a member of Israel, and I am responsible to fulfill everything that was entailed in that covenant or in that, you know, relationship that Israel had with God. And that involved not only the Ten Commandments, but remember, the law of Moses was a unit, and it involved 613 laws, not just the Ten Commandments. That means I would be responsible to keep all 613 of those laws and every kind of those laws, you know, the laws of sacrifice. I have to bring an animal and have it slain. In other words, it's a sign. The Sabbath is a sign between God and Israel that they were his people set apart to himself when he redeemed them by power and by blood out of Egypt, and he constituted them as a nation, a peculiar nation, separate from all other nations. And he said when they didn't keep those Sabbaths, He was furious with them, and he destroyed them as a judgment. And again, if we are responsible to the Sabbath day law, then you and I are facing some very serious problems, because God will pour out his fury upon us to destroy us as well. You know, if we're not resting the seventh day, if that's something I need to do, you know, as far as a moral law that is binding on all men in all times and in all places. Look at verse 19 through 21. I guess 18 to 21 would be good.
I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them.
And hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God.
Notwithstanding the children rebelled against me, they walk not in my statutes, neither kept my judgments to do them. But if a man do, I will do them. They blew in my Sabbaths. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them to establish my anger against them in the wilderness.
I noticed how he emphasizes the fact that they have not observed the Sabbaths properly, because he says that's a special sign between God and Israel, and their failure to, you know, uphold that sign by living up to the Sabbath law was a special occasion of God's anger and judgment, because in a sense they were denying completely their relationship to him, and they were setting aside his covenant, and they were, you know, violating all that it meant for them as a people to be the people of God. And so again, he emphasizes it's a sign between me and you. that I am the Lord your God. Me. Now, to bring that out even more, turn to Exodus 31. Exodus 31. See, what I'm saying is, the seventh-day Sabbath of rest is not a moral law that which would mean a law that is binding on all men of all times and in all places, and that is a universal law. It's a special ceremonial command that has significance only toward Israel and which is attached to their constitution or their covenant with God, which was the Ten Commandments. And so it was a sign of the covenant, not a moral law, and it had a ceremonial nature, not a moral nature. In other words, it was something that they had to do because as the people of God, as they and under that covenant, they had to obey this law. Otherwise, they would have violated the covenant and brought judgment upon themselves. Exodus 31, verses 12 to 18.
Keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, his soul shall be cut off from among the people.
6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death.
This says a lot. Notice God says the Sabbaths are His, and He gave them to Israel, the children of Israel is who He's talking to here, and He says they must keep them because it is a sign between God and Israel throughout their generations, or as long as that covenant and that nation will be in existence. And it was a way of their knowing that the Lord had set them apart to Himself as a holy nation. The Sabbath was holy to them. Notice what He says. If you were to defile the Sabbath by working that day, that soul would be cut off from the people, or there would no longer be, they had broken the covenant, would no longer be recognized as a part of that nation, and they would have forfeited their life. The Sabbath of rest is holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work that day will surely be put to death. All right, who here was called into work Saturday? I got a pile of stones out here, and if no. You see what I'm saying? If you work Saturday, if we have to keep the Sabbath, we're done. I should have been dead a long time ago. But it says the children of Israel will keep the Sabbath, observe it throughout their generations. Notice. For a perpetual covenant. As long as this covenant was in effect, the Sabbath was binding and valid to those people. It's a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. Then he refers how it's a memorial of the creation, and he says how it's an integral part of the Ten Commandments, which were written on two tables of stone by the finger of God, and which were the covenant between God and Israel. All right, I'm just emphasizing this to show the nature of the Ten Commandments and the Sabbath as a part of those Ten Commandments, or that covenant with Israel. So according to this, what was the sign of the Old Covenant? What was the sign of the covenant between God and Israel? Pardon?
Keeping the Sabbath.
Now, does that show that they were in a covenant relationship with God, and they were His special called out people, and they were responsible to Him to obey and regard that day in that way? You know, a lot of people think that circumcision was the sign of the covenant, but it wasn't. It was the Sabbath day. Circumcision was a sign of the faith that Abraham had when he was yet uncircumcised. That was an evidence of his relationship with God by faith, and it showed forth, you know, that his seed had been set apart unto God, and here that seed is being constituted as a nation, and the law is being given to them, which was, of course, the basis of their relationship with God, and it ordered their life for the Lord. But so it was a sign between God and Israel only, and it was holy to them. And again, like Exodus 35, if you want to look there, the first three verses. I'd like to read Exodus 35, the first three verses. Saturday, your life is forfeit. You are to be put to death. And as a matter of fact, you better not cook a meal on the Sabbath day. You know, you better not kindle a fire for any reason. If it's cold, don't try to get yourself warmed up on the Sabbath day. You better shiver. Better shiver than, you know, see what I'm saying? This was an absolute law. If I am bound to keep a day of rest, that means I cannot cook or heat my home on the seventh, or, well, of course, the seventh day. Or if I'm still bound to, you know, to keep the Sabbath as a Christian, and, in other words, I can't, here's the problem. You can't say the Sabbath is Sunday and I just have to rest Sunday, or I have to go to church Sunday. If you're keeping Sunday because it's the Sabbath, then, first of all, you have to find where God ever said Sunday was the Sabbath, which He never does. Sunday is the first day of the week. The Sabbath is always the seventh day of the week. The next thing you have to do is find out where God said you can kindle fires and you can leave your home and you can do work and, you know, other things like this. All I ask is that, you know, you rest or worship me on this day. If it's, see, as the Sabbath day. What I'm saying is, to say I have to observe Sunday as the Sabbath day is to put myself under the law. And if I put myself under the law, I have to do everything the law required of the Sabbath day. But if I am to observe the first day of the week on an entirely different basis, if that's something that's a part of the New Testament, the New Covenant, you know, that I am related to God in through Christ, then I'm doing it on an entirely different basis. I'm still observing it, but not because I'm required to keep the Sabbath. See, that's two different things. Let's go on. If you want to turn to Numbers 15, was God serious when He said you're to keep my Sabbath and not do any work on it? Let's find out.
What can you do on Sunday, on the Sabbath? What can you do on the Sabbath? Just sit in an easy chair and rest?
Sabbath is Saturday, see? Sunday is the Lord's Day, and we'll see what the New Testament says we ought to do on the Lord's Day. Okay,
how many Sabbaths are you talking about? Saturday is the Sabbath, or
yeah.
Sunday is the Sabbath?
Saturday.
Saturday is the Sabbath day.
Sunday is the Lord's Day.
Yeah, but you can work 6 days out of the week.
Right.
And that's count 8 days then.
No. See, to say I can work 6 days and rest the seventh, that's saying I'm in the nation of Israel. That's saying I'm still
under the law.
Yeah, you're going back under the Mosaic Covenant. See? The Ten Commandments was the Mosaic Covenant, which was binding on Israel and which constituted them as a nation. I'd have to become an Israelite and go under the Old Testament system to be able to be held to the Sabbath day. That, in other words,
Right. In other words, there's 2 days you're not supposed to work then.
No.
We're under grace.
You can't work on the Lord's day, and you can't work the Sabbath.
He just told you you could work the Sabbath.
Well, see, what I'm saying is... Well, here's what we confuse. See, we say we can't work the Sabbath day, but God says not only that, you can't leave home on the Sabbath day. If Sunday's the Sabbath day, you better not come to church, see? That's what I'm saying. It's not just you can't work. There's a whole lot of things involved with the Sabbath. You can't cook a meal. You know, Sunday the Sabbath, you can't have a hot meal unless you cook it Sunday or Saturday and keep it warm till Sunday. See, this is where the confusion comes in. Yeah, that's where we get mixed up. All right, let's find out. I'm trying to. All right, see, what Norm is doing is this. I'm telling what the Sabbath was and what it required. He's saying, and in his mind, he's saying, that's Sunday. That means, and so you're saying, I can't do any of these things on Sunday. But that's not what the New Testament says.
Well, I always say, okay, Sunday's been the Sabbath day.
See, here's what I'm trying to bring out. I'm glad you're bringing this out because I didn't know if you were understanding me. Saturday was a sign between God and Israel that they were His people and they could not work on Saturday. Right? That's the Sabbath. I'm not a member of Israel, the nation of Israel. I'm not under the old covenant. I'm under the new covenant. See, in other words, for me not to work on Saturday, I'd have to become a part of the old covenant. See what I'm saying? And what you need to do is to determine how I am to act on Sunday. See, Sunday is something that came into effect in the New Testament, or the New Covenant. And now, how does the New Testament tell me to behave on Sunday? Does the Bible say, as a member of the church, you are not to leave your house on Sunday, or you're not to work on Sunday, or you're not to kindle a fire on Sunday? So you can't just carry over Saturday and say everything that related to Saturday for Israel relates to Sunday for the Christian, because that's going backwards. See, Saturday was abolished. We'll see how that is no longer in effect. Sunday was instituted, but it was not instituted under the same laws as Saturday was. It was not Saturday becomes Sunday. If Saturday is out of existence, now Sunday's in effect. How do we act on Sunday? See, you can't. In the New Testament. Oh, yeah.
I remember that your mother would even buy it. When you had a Sunday paper, they used to come out on a Saturday, issued on Saturday, and they bought their paper Saturday night.
Right. Well, can I tell you?
You see, Saturday was in that book, it's a paper. Sunday was.
Right.
They got nothing on Sunday.
Right. Right, okay. Before you get afraid, I don't do anything. I try not to do anything on Sunday too. I try not to go out and eat. I try not to go buy anything. I try to set that entire day apart to the Lord. But why do I do that?
Because
I'm a member of the nation of Israel and I'm under the Ten Commandments as a covenant.
No,
I do it because God has established Sunday as the day that Christians recognize the Lord and worship. Now, how do we regard that day? I can say this, it's not a law in the New Testament that says you can't work Sunday or buy something on Sunday. I feel that the principle can be applied and that, you know, to honor the Lord in the fullest sense, I try not to, but there are cases where that's impossible. You know, we'll get into that when we finally see how the Sunday, how it's different than Saturday, Sabbath,
well,
and what we are to do on a Sunday.
Christ showed us that it is a little different than being under the law, because the Pharisees were angry with him because he was healing people on Sunday.
Right. On the Sabbath, Saturday.
On Saturday.
Yeah. See, Jesus was made under the law. He was a member of the new Jewish nation, and he observed all the Jewish laws. And
so then it hadn't changed yet.
No, it didn't change at that point.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
Well, in other words, Sabbath, the day of rest, means either you lie down or sit down and rest and not do anything.
Right. If that's the Sabbath, that's what you have to do.
You have to be on the
stay
Sabbath,
home,
which is Sabbath.
Don't cook, don't heat the house, don't leave, you know, don't do a thing. But that was, see, here's the key. Now, see, here's where people become, see, that you become concerned. You say, well, why'd God give the law if I don't have to keep it? That's not exactly the right way of understanding it. God gave the law as a covenant with Israel. They had to keep that law. Christ's death abolished the law, and now he's put his spirit within us, and he's written the law of Christ upon our heart, which is love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That fulfills the first table of the law. Love your neighbor as yourself. That fulfills the second table of the law. In other words, love is the fulfilling of the law, and love does more than the law. And love goes beyond the law. Love, you know, is getting to the heart and, you know, doing things for the right motive and reason. But here's the key. The New Testament has 1,384 commands. Did you know that? You say, well, I'm no longer under the law, which involves 613 commands. No, but we're under the law of Christ, which is revealed in the New Testament. And that has 1,384 commands. And, of course, we do it by the Spirit's enablement and out of love to the Lord and to our fellow men. And it's different. They had tables in stone. We have it written in the fleshly tables of the heart. And again, I do not go back to the Old Testament and read the Ten Commandments to see how I can live for God. I read the New Covenant, the New Testament, with all the commands that I have. I'll give one of the best examples I ever heard was this. If you had a person in your church committing adultery, would you run them out of the church because they had broken the Ten Commandments? You know, would you discipline that person for breaking the law, for committing adultery, and run them out of the church? Of course, right? But here's the other question. The New Testament says, husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Have you ever run someone out of the church for not loving their wife like Christ loved the church?
No, they're all here.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you know what
I mean? Wow, I shouldn't say that, but I don't feel. I'm sorry, people. Oh, my
goodness.
Yeah,
but because
they're
here, that doesn't mean that they love them.
I don't feel that we should strive for this, but we're never going to make loving our spouses or our husbands or wives like Christ loved the church.
No, but that if God's spirit and love is in their heart, he will produce that kind of love for the wife. See, that's what I'm saying. Now, adultery is condemned in the New Testament. Don't misunderstand me. But what I'm saying is sometimes we hold the New Testament up in such a high regard, we say, oh, that's the law. Then when God gives us commands in the New Testament, we kind of say, well, that's important, but, you know, we give more emphasis to the Old Testament than the New. We're not under the Old, we're under the New, see? And there are many laws that we're to obey, and we need to hold to those. And like I said, 9 of the 10 commandments are repeated in the New Covenant. I keep those because the New Covenant tells me that's what I'm responsible to do, not because God gave the 10 commandments to Moses and I'm an Israelite, see? I'm under a New Covenant, and I'm responsible to the authority of that covenant and to keep all the laws of that covenant, which has been, you know, it has been instituted through Christ, not the old covenant instituted through Moses. And the Sabbath was a non-moral command, which is not repeated in the New Testament, which means I'm no longer held to it. As a matter of fact, the New Testament says the Sabbath has been abolished or done away. It's no longer binding for anybody. It's been, God said, I gave it to Israel on Sinai. It was for their, as long as they were a nation and under that covenant, it was obligatory when Christ came by his death. He abolished in his flesh the laws of commandments contained in ordinances, and the Sabbath's done away. We haven't gotten to that yet. All I've been trying to bring out is if we're to keep the Sabbath, we're not to leave home, we're not to kindle a fire. You know what I'm saying? There's more involved than just not working. As a matter of fact, what else? Yeah. Well, I think that's a... Well, I think that's, again, it's confusing the Old and New Testament. It's putting us ourselves under the Old Covenant, where it should be, we're under the New Covenant, and the law, it still has value as far as, it's a revelation of God's holiness and of his standard of righteousness. But like the Sabbath, has no validity at all. When I read the Sabbath day, what I'm saying is, you got to become an Israelite and go back under the law in order to do this. Well, because we go back to Exodus is where we read it.
Doesn't Christ also say those, or maybe I'm wrong, but doesn't he say somewhere in the New Testament that, or is that before the Sabbath was abolished also?
What's
that? It was good for us to follow the law of God, or does that mean, like, love thy neighbor as thyself?
But, yeah, they asked him, what is the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God,
God with all your heart,
and your neighbor as yourself. Remember, he was dealing with Israel when he came. See, what we need to understand as far as our life for the Lord is, what does the New Testament epistles tell us? Now, I can find all but the Sabbath repeated in the New Testament epistles. But when I read the Exodus 20, I'm reading the covenant of God with Israel.
Right.
See, that's what I'm, in other words, I'm reading the Old Covenant.
Okay.
But I'm under the New Covenant.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Which is, in other words, it's bringing the New Testament back into the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. See what I mean?
We're going backwards.
Yeah. That's, I think, and there's a lot of confusion there. See, a Christian is not without law, but he's not under the Old Testament as a covenant. And the Ten Commandments was the Old Testament covenant. But I'm under the New Covenant, and that has laws, which includes 9 of the 10, but not the Sabbath. You know, even when you read Exodus, it says, I am the Lord your God who redeemed you out of the house, you know, out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. He's directing that directly to Israel. Therefore, does that mean that I can worship other gods than the true God? Or does that mean that I can lie and steal? No. That doesn't mean I'm not keeping those laws, but what it means is I'm not going back under the old covenant to keep them. I'm keeping them as they are moral laws of God, and I keep them as a child of God because I want to do his will. And that's his will, but I'm doing it under the new covenant and by the Holy Spirit's enablement, not a legalistic, you know, effort of the flesh to attain to a righteousness by my own efforts. You know, Christ fulfilled the law. He kept it perfectly. He satisfied it by dying for us, and he put his Spirit in our hearts, and that Spirit writes his law within us. And we have the New Testament to guide our lives for the Lord, and we live for him. And we'll see later, we haven't finished seeing everything that the Old Testament required to be done on the Sabbath. We'll finish that, but then we'll see what's the New Testament say should or should not be done on Sunday, which is not the Christian Sabbath, it's the Lord's Day. The Sabbath always means Saturday. Well, all right, we'll